This week on the Unabated Podcast, we look to the NFL draft and talk to Luke Swain, also known as Vegas Refund, to get his thoughts on how the draft is going to break down and how you can approach betting on it. It's a great show. Let's get to it. Hello, everyone, and welcome on into the Unabated Podcast. I'm Thomas Viola, and joining me, as always, Mr. Unabated himself, Captain Jack Andrews. Jack, we're getting ready for the sportsless abyss of summer. We're staring into it, and it is staring back. But before we get to that point, we have a couple events left, like the NBA and NHL playoffs, and of course, the NFL draft. And our guest today is Luke Swain at the Vegas Refund, and he's going to be talking all about the NFL draft. But before we get to that, did you enjoy the Masters this weekend? It was one of the last big betting events that we had before we get to this point. Did you make any money on it? Did you use the unabated tools at all?
So I did make some money on it. I don't normally bet golf, but we just debuted some PGA Tour tools and odds screen on unabated. So I said, well, I better make use of this. So I hunt around and I tried to find where I could find some outlier pricing. And I was able to get Fleetwood to finish in the top 10 at a pretty juicy number. And that paid off for me. So I was happy with that. I had a couple head-to-head matchups that I kind of got through line shopping around. And that also was profitable. So I enjoyed betting the Masters this year. The Super Bowl of golf is from what I understand. And it paid well.
I was sick all weekend. So I spent most of the time on my couch watching it. And got to say, shout out to Rufus and Tom from last week's episode of, and for the record, Tom Peabody, not shouting myself out in the third person there, but a couple of the golfers that they said, take a look at, like, these guys, there's an edge, were Oberg and Morikawa. And sure enough, they were both there up until the final day in the final back nine. They were right there and, yeah, didn't quite come close, but I got a good sweat out of the weekend betting on, holding a 40-1 Oberg ticket. But Scotty Scheffler, man, he's just inevitable. And it feels like it's been the year of the chalk. Like, no wonder Dave Portnoy is bragging about having a great gambling year here, because every chalking result has come in. Like, Scheffler, Mahomes and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, UConn winning the March Madness, South Carolina winning the women's. Like, it's just been chalk after chalk here.
Yeah, it really has been. You know, the pendulum is going to swing. It always does.
Yep. We'll see what happens. But, you know, one of the most interesting events coming up to bet is the NFL draft. And I say that because it's so different. You can't really top down it because the lines move based on bets that don't actually hold any information. You can dummy it, but it's also a question of who actually knows what they're doing and why is someone taking this line and why is it moving this way? And you can't really answer those questions. It's truly an event that you can kind of cheat on. People can know the answers to this. It's like being able to get serious money down on the WWE. And our guest today is somebody who actually spends a whole lot of time trying to figure that out and decipher exactly what is really going to happen when it comes to NFL draft day. And we hear that. And that is Vegas Refund, Luke Swain. He, as far as people who know what they're talking about when it comes to the draft, he is right there at the top.
Yeah, you know, look, I didn't really know a lot about him until you had suggested we bring him on the podcast. And I got to look at his product that he has, where he does a lot of analysis and kind of consensus of mock drafts and compiles them into a Google sheet that then you kind of reference and use as your, I guess, your source of truth when it comes to betting on the NFL draft. It's a very comprehensive product. And I look forward to kind of asking him a little bit more about his process and how he's developed all of this so that we can figure out just, you know, how much he knows about the NFL draft, as well as, is this something that you want to put money towards?
Yeah. And it really is a case of you have to find alternate sources of truth. It's not something you can really model out. It's not something that you can top down. And you need to know where to look and how to find the best value and how to separate what's real from what smoke screens, because as we know, teams love putting that out. There's media hype to go around. I'm excited to talk with him and see how he parses through all that. I say we get to it.
Let's do it.
All right, everybody, welcome on into the podcast. Luke Swain, aka Vegas Refund. Luke, thank you so much for being with us here today. How are you doing, my friend?
Good. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you on. We are excited because it is NFL draft season, and this is really one of the most unique events that we can actually put real money down on, because it's one of the only ones where there are really known outcomes. It's not quite as egregious as betting on the WWE, but it's getting up there in the fact that you could actually find out the very real answers to some of these questions before the draft. And that really brings into the question, how much of your evaluation process revolves around things like player talent and predicting where teams are going to go in the draft versus how much of it is about news and things that you try to get as insider information?
Yeah, so I mean, I think like the key to the entire process is kind of eliminating your personal bias and removing yourself from it, where like you want to have your opinion on like I guess maybe like a fantasy sports aspect. Like you have your opinion on the receivers or the quarterbacks, or you think Bo Nix is awful, or do you think JJ McCarthy is awful and shouldn't go in the top five? Like in the end, you're not the one making the decision. So really, like that should not factor into the equation in terms of any of the bets that you're making. But at the same time, I would say probably if there is a bias or an opinion, I would say probably team needs is the one thing that can come into factoring in terms of what you're betting, whether it's like first position for team, et cetera. But really, like eliminating your entire bias is probably the first key to betting into the draft. And then really understanding what the tea leaves are and understanding like quarterback is the greatest example that every single year there's going to be one or two guys that the media just has nothing better to talk to, and quarterbacks are what everyone wants to hear about, and they're going to start hyping guys like Hendon Hooker or I guess Bo Nix or whoever the quarterback is for that year. And you kind of just got to understand what's hype, what's fake, what's not. But it's a fun process and it can go on for months.
Now, you're kind of known for having this extensive qualitative research. In other words, you're looking at all the resources out there, the news, the information, what teams are kind of tipping their hand. And the unabated crowd, we largely do things like top down, where we're relying on kind of the quantitative analysis of sports betting. So, Mike, I guess my question to you, Luke, would be, is there any quantitative research that could be done with the draft, or is it all just news and information?
Yeah, so kind of how I got my start with this whole draft betting process is aggregating mock drafts. And the first step is like going through, there's two really mock draft rating sites out there. It's going to be the Huddle Report, which is probably the most well-known one. And then actually Fantasy Pros has their own as well. And kind of I've aggregated those two ratings and I've been keeping track of the ratings for the last 5 years. And using, I guess, the top rated mock drafters over a 5 year sample size and who's gotten the most right, whether it's by position or by player, and really aggregating the top rated mock drafters. And then also like weighting it, like Daniel Jeremiah is going to have more weight in terms of like my aggregating than someone who might not have any connections and just is really good at the mock draft process. So it's 30 plus in just aggregating and not going, it's not like a ride or die process where like if the aggregate says it's an over at like a 75% hit rate, like that's not actually 75%. And it's not a 75% edge that I'm just gonna bet. It's more of like a framework that gives you somewhat of a idea of where they should land. And then you kind of take the news and you might have your own evaluation on who you think, which truly is I think the most important part, like teams might be higher on than the media. And then aggregating big boards is probably almost equal to the mock draft because big boards, specifically like the Daniel Jeremiahs and the Dane Brugglers, like they're probably the closest guys we have to what teams are thinking. And that's the whole process. You're trying to figure out what these teams are going to be drafting and doing. And understanding who those two guys have ranked higher than, let's say, the consensus big board, which is the media. A great example is Fatano. So Troy Fatano out of Washington, between Brugler and Jeremiah, they have him ranked 10. And then the media consensus mock draft or big boards have him in the 20s. So that's a guy that we might pick off of that teams might be higher on than where this guy's being mocked by the media generally.
So you really can't. How difficult is it to look at the betting market for the draft? Because is it just that you don't really take it into account at all due to the fact that if somebody just puts a bunch of money in, it's very easy to move a number and start steaming stuff up when they don't even actually have any real information?
Yeah, so like they're basically just auto moving now. Specifically like Caesars, like they're just moving off of any bet, no matter who you are. Where if you're keeping track of the juice on all the bets, you can, like, if a line moves, that doesn't mean it's a bunch of people. It really could just be one person that looked at a mock draft, a Mel Kiper mock draft. So the movement means literally nothing. And the books definitely have gotten a lot better at setting the lines, where I think the best example is a couple of years ago, Circa, I think it was like they released 100 over unders like a month out. And now they release 40 a week before. And I think that's just the best example of where the market was in the glory days of a couple of years ago to where we are now. And it's just becoming a lot more difficult. And the NFL, it's the most mainstream sport, and NFL draft betting has become pretty mainstream as well. And personally, I think the NBA draft is where the money's made, but the NFL draft is what everyone, of course, cares about.
Yeah, it's the big hype show. What kind of draft props do you look at in terms of having the most value? Like you mentioned, over unders. Is that a lot of where you're going with individual players and guessing their over under, or do you look more at things like positional group, like quarterback, how many quarterbacks are going to go in the first round, things like that? Where do you find the value?
So the player over unders are definitely like where they're going to be drafted, like whatever the number is, 16.5, et cetera. That's definitely been my bread and butter historically. I do think, I mean, last year is kind of what was an outlier year, but the positional to team, if you get in early enough, is probably where you're going to make, I guess, have the most fun or hit the best odds, the 5-to-1s, the 10-to-1s, the 20-to-1s, whatever it is. I think that specifically for the teams in like the 20s, I think that's where you can get the best return on your investment in terms of like not laying -150s, -160s, et cetera. But in the end, if like, you know, the answer to the test, which is the draft, let's just say it could be minus infinity. And that is still a good bet, which does not remain the same for actual sports, because anything can happen.
Yeah, like we see it with Caleb Williams here.
Exactly. But the limits are ridiculous, so it's pretty impossible.
Yeah.
So I am curious, is it better in years where we have some kind of uncertainty at the first pick, or is it better in years where we know the first pick and everybody is kind of figuring out what comes after that?
I mean, there's not really a big difference, because if it's not going to be the first pick, it's right now, it's the second pick, or the third, where I guess technically, like, it's better to have an idea as much as possible. Where this year is unique, where I don't think I've seen a stronger consensus in the top 10, whether it's a consensus or a copycat, that's remained to be seen in a very long time, where it can create chaos and is somewhat scary. But at the same time, I think no matter how the top 10 goes, we're probably going to get the same 8 guys go in the top 10, which is good. Because if a bunch of guys that we're not predicting go in the top 10, the dominoes is going to create chaos, kind of like what last year happened. So there's more uncertainty creates opportunity. So technically I like as much uncertainty as possible, because I trust my process. I'm going to grind, and I guess I can trust myself to know a little bit more than the next guy, which creates value. But at the same time, probably last year was just pure chaos.
Yeah, with all the trades,
I would not
especially
like last year to happen again. I do not want last year to happen again.
So you mentioned something there, that you're finding that a lot of sports books are offering less draft props than they used to, which is kind of a paradox, because in general, sports betting seems to keep expanding in what they allow people to bet at. Do you think that's because draft props are so beatable that a lot of sports books are backing away from offering as many? And is do you feel like it's best to kind of wait a little bit to make those bets to let the market kind of solidify rather than picking off the big edges right at the jump?
Yeah, so it's mainly just like the player over-unders are what they're offering less and waiting on a lot longer, where like the position to teams and then like the exact pick, like 10 to 1 type big plus money odds, they're actually offering a lot earlier. But the ones that I think you can pick off and they're probably the most vulnerable to are going to be the over-unders, which they are waiting way longer than they have in the past. And I would say if you have the opportunity to see them when they first open, there's a ton of opportunity. I would definitely recommend jumping on them when they open. But if you miss the open, I would say like within could be an hour, could be a couple hours, could be a day, it's probably worth waiting. For me, like usually my first over under bet, if they're available, I've looked the last couple of years, is like first week of April. And then like 80% of the rest of my bets, which usually have like 15 to 20 in the past based on what's been available, have been like the week before and the week of. Because the guys you trust, like the Jeremiahs, et cetera, their final mock drafts, like Schrager, whoever it is, like those are going to be, that's going to be the information you can bet off of, where a lot of them are just clickbait as well.
Do you find that there's a lot of correlation baked into a lot of these? Because like you mentioned, it's the domino effect. Like the Texans trading up last year to grab both Stroud and Will Anderson is like that can set off a whole chain reaction of stuff where, okay, well, all of a sudden a bunch of other guys are going later than expected. Like if there's someone that's unexpectedly picked at the beginning, it can set off a whole chain reaction for you. Does that bake into a lot of correlation and you notice you have some really great years and some bad years, or does it wash out?
Like last year, like the landmines were Levis not going in the like top 10 and didn't go in the first round, and then Witherspoon going to the Seahawks at 4 was actually like the huge landmine, because it's all about like where these guys rank for their position. Where if like Jalen Carter goes early, like he's going to be pushing back a lot of the defensive players that should be going after him. Or if he went 4, which is where he was predicted, like he's going to be dragging, like the second defensive player is going to go a lot earlier. Where since he went 9, like the second defensive player, or actually the third, is going to go later. Where this year it's a little bit different because, like I said, it's going to be, there's like 8 guys that are kind of locked into the top 10. And then you have like the Dallas Turner, who I think is just way too much of a consensus to the Falcons at 8, which I think is a hot trade spot. But then you have just trades in general, which I hate talking trades. Like I love to, like I will, I am, I it's okay. But you see all these mock drafts predicting all these trades in their first round, and it's impossible. It's basically like they're just a bunch of parlays. Like they're just throwing into their mock drafts, and it's like impossible to hit. And it's kind of making the process a little bit harder, but it's okay. Where if like the Vikings don't trade in the top 5, there's that scenario is going to be chaos.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when they traded up for that second first round pick, everybody's like, okay, they're going top 5 to take JJ McCarthy. And if that doesn't end up happening, that's going to mess up a whole bunch of people. And that brings me into what I wanted to talk about. We've talked a lot about theory. Let's talk about the actual draft for a little bit. You mentioned media hype versus what teams actually think. And is there anyone that's a greater example of that than JJ McCarthy? Because we have seen so much media hype around him. Do you think he's the first guy I want to talk about? Do you think that teams are going to actually, do you think teams agree?
So right now it's starting to come down for me in terms of my confidence level. Like everyone you listen to that matters has confirmed that the JJ McCarthy hype is real. And then Eric Eager had a podcast, I want to say on Friday, who I think he works with teams. Like I don't think he has like sources or intel, but he nailed Levis last year, and conviction is something I value a lot in this whole process. Like the context within a mock draft and how they say it, except like, et cetera. Like the conviction is like the unquantitative part of the draft process that I tried to do myself. And his conviction on JJ McCarthy not going top five was very noteworthy. And it kind of threw me for a loop, and it's part of the whole process. But if you asked me last week, I would say, yeah, JJ McCarthy is going to go top five. I wouldn't bet the under 5.5 because I'm not going to make an under 5.5 bet. That's really only that you're just dependent on a trade happening. But I would be very shocked if he didn't go top five. And I think a lot of people have PTSD of Will Levis last year, which was like under 7.5, and that didn't hit, including myself. But I think the hype on McCarthy is real. Vikings have to get a quarterback. But at the same time, I think the Penix and Knicks hype is totally fake.
Well, that brings up my next question here. Like, do you think either one of those guys sneaks back into the first round? You think that hype is just not real?
Yeah, it's just we're literally stuck in a loop every single year of quarterbacks that are being hyped into the first round. And Bo Nix and Michael Penix are the flavor of the year. And like, I just don't bet the QB markets ever. Because if you ask me, I would only bet the over on either guy, and I would bet the under on under quarterbacks. But I'm personally not betting it because one of these years it's probably going to happen. But if you're playing the odds, it's in their favor of falling out. And there hasn't been one guy, if between the two, it'd probably be Penix. But there hasn't been one guy. I mean, you go down the list of people that matter, whether it's Jeremiah, Albert Breer, Todd McShay, the list goes on. They have all said Bo Nix is not a first rounder. And on his over under odds, you bet the over, and I'd love to know who it is, but every time you bet the over, someone is betting the under. And I would love to know who it is. And it's crazy to me, but yeah, I mean, you just can't buy the hype on those two guys.
It is so tough, like dealing with what is smoke screens versus what is real information for betting something like this. But I know that you mentioned not liking to read the tea leaves on trades. And you also mentioned the Vikings are the obvious trade candidate. Atlanta's an interesting trade out spot. Is there anyone else that you really have your eye on that you think could wreck the draft by trading either in or out?
Yeah, I mean, outside the top five, I think 8 for the Falcons is very hot, especially if like a trade doesn't happen in the top five. I think probably the Falcons would be the next most likely spot. I think 16 with the Seahawks, you could see a team like the Eagles trading into 16 for one of the maybe the elite corners. And Kapinski, who's with the Philly Inquirer, highly recommend reading his stuff there. Eagles reporters are extremely dialed in. He has been harping corner. And he said that they've had interest in corners in recent years, but really only like the elite corners that were way out of their range. And I think this is one of the years that I guess technically the elite corners in this draft could get into the teens. The Seahawks are a team that you can see trading back a lot. They love to. So whether it's like the Eagles into 16 or maybe even the Bills into 16 for a guy like Brian Thomas, I think that is like the prime spot for a team that wants one of Quincy Mitchell, Tyron Arnold, or Brian Thomas as well. And then maybe like 23, which 23 would be either the Cardinals or the Chargers if they trade up. Or if they don't, is the Vikings. I can see 23 being a team trading up for like a Donde Mitchell, like maybe the Bills again, because McShay did say he thinks that Donde Mitchell is going to go a lot earlier. Not McShay, Schefter, which I don't really buy into Schefter as much because he's almost too mainstream.
Put stuff out that they want him to say.
Right. Like Schefter, like, of course he knows more than anyone in the entire world for the NFL, but at the same time, the most people listen to him. So like him pumping, and it brings me back to Waj with the MA draft a couple of years ago with, whoever his name is, and Paolo went first in the end, and Waj was like totally wrong.
And now do you think quarterbacks are going 1, 2, 3, or rather, do you think the Patriots are taking that third quarterback at 3?
Yeah, I think it's quarterback. I'm a Patriots fan, and I wouldn't be surprised if they trade out, but at the same time, I think Kraft is calling the shots in the end. And even though he's saying he's not, and Mayo, when he got hired as a head coach, said that they were going to spend all this money in free agency and they didn't spend a dime. And then it just tells me Kraft is still calling the shots, and Kraft definitely wants a quarterback. And I think Drake May is kind of like the CJ Stroud this year, where everyone is throwing haymakers at him and taking shots at his evaluation. And in the end, he went number two. So whether Drake May goes two or three, I think he's locked into the top three.
Well, as a Jets fan, I've personally enjoyed the Patriots' downfall. that has been the only saving grace in what has been a lifelong miserable tale.
They're due. They've been due.
Yeah, well, we'll always be due, and it'll never happen. But what could you see being the biggest surprise of the draft? I know that's a very nebulous question.
Biggest surprise, I would say, man, the consensus is so strong that there could be so many surprises, but I think there's going to be some receivers that we're not expecting to go in the first round, whether it's like Troy Franklin, McConkey. In the back end of the first, there's a lot of needy receiver teams that I think we could see some names that you're not expecting to go in the first, but it's also tight. But yeah, I just don't, and it might be a surprise. I don't think Knicks and Penix are going to go in the first, but right now it's difficult to have hot takes because there's almost such a certainty that it's scary that really anything outside of the consensus is going to be out of left field.
And we also have just a couple more days before everybody gets bored enough that they're going to start having hot takes just to have hot takes.
Exactly.
So a lot of our viewers or listeners are probably going to check this out like next week. We're, you know, we're about a week ahead of when the real NFL draft frenzy begins, right? So for those of our listeners who are listening to this next week and the draft is only a day or two away, is there still value out there in the market, or has the market been hammered into efficiency by 2 or 3 days before the draft?
I think there's still value. I think there's going to be value in like team to draft first position up until the draft, especially in the 20s, where, I mean, I think everyone wants like the 5-to-1s, the 10-to-1s, which that is, those are definitely going to be gone. But if you think value like is like the plus 150s or anything plus money, like a team like the Eagles to draft offensive line first, I think has value. And I think also a team like the Broncos to first position has a ton of value as well, mainly because right now, if you look at their positional odds, quarterback is like minus 150, which is basically Bo Nix. And to me, that is crazy. And it's creating value on like D line, I think it's 4-to-1. Corner is 8-to-1. Offensive line is 15-to-1. And if you remove Bo Nix from the equation and you don't have quarterback at minus 150, you're probably going to be seeing all three of those positions odds cut in half. And I think the argument for all three is very strong. I mean, I personally bet corner. I think it was like 8-to-1. And then O line at 15-to-1, I think has a ton of value. And even at 4-to-1, like there's an argument for all three, especially if like a guy like Dallas Turner falls or Byron Murphy. I think that's his range. And then they'll have Quincy Mitchell and then all the offensive linemen. It's crazy to me that quarterback is minus 150 for the Broncos. And I think that should probably remain in the same ballpark because that hype will probably remain a week from now.
It's Sean Payton. It's never too late to trade for Taysom Hill. make it happen. I want the chaos. Now, Luke, if people want to see your projections and what you're thinking for the draft, where's the best place that they can find that?
Yeah, just go to my Twitter page. It's pinned at the top, or just go to VegasRefund.com. All the stuff is right there. I do NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, whichever one is your flavor. It is a grind until, I don't even know when they're at, May or June, end of June. So yeah, it's pretty cheap. It's like $35. And yeah, Twitter, VegasRefund.com.
And you're working for 4 for 4 as well.
Yes. And if you want the draft picks, they are in for their subscribers and their Discord. So sign up there.
Luke, thank you so much for being with us here today. Best of luck on the draft. And hey, let's hope that it's not too chalky, but it's just chalky enough that it's not too terrible for us. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Guys, if you want to go, once again, check him out. Luke Swain at Vegas Refund on Twitter/X. And of course, head on over to unabated.com. Our PGA tools are live now. Use the link in the description of this video for a 5-day free trial with a one-on-one demo that will most likely be with me. Hop on a Zoom call. I'll walk you through all the tools. I'll show you how I use them. I'll show you how you should probably be using them. And I'll show you around the entire site, make it easy for you to get in and get started with Unabated. Thank you so much for being with us. Luke, once again, thank you so much for your time today as well. We'll see you all next week. But for now, best of luck. And as always, let's cash some tickets.